Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky. And I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Tuesday, May 23rd. This happens to be the birthday of Sister Ruth Back. Miss Back's a good member here at the Island Ford Baptist Church, also our secretary here at WSOF Radio and Island Ford Baptist Church. We're grateful for her labor, grateful for her blessing, and I hope that this is a good day for her. Hope you'll remember her in prayer as well, as she celebrates her birthday today. All right. Also, this is Tuesday, means we've got prayer meeting coming up tomorrow night, and I preached this morning down at Fairdale in Kentucky, and I hope that you prayed for me there. And I'm actually making this broadcast before that time, so I'm not going to comment on it because I don't know how it went. But I am looking forward to our prayer meeting coming up on Wednesday night. Hope you will as well. Hope you'll be praying for it. Pray that God would meet with us and help us and just have His perfect way. And we do have a number of things we're praying for. Keep Brother and Sister Hall in your prayers as Mrs. Hall recovers from the surgery she had there with the AFib situation she'd been in for some time. And now she's recovering on that road. And it's a sort of a long road and a difficult road. I want you to pray for that God would bless and strengthen and help her. And that He'd do the same for Brother Hall through this time as well. And they've changed his medication. He's been having some difficulties with that. And so want to keep him in our prayers as well. Also want to pray for my father-in-law. He's been having all kinds of problems. He had AFib surgery back a month or so ago now. And then he's been having trouble with his kidneys ever since. And now even they're thinking maybe with his prostate. And they found a growth in his lung, a little nodule. And they're wanting to check that out. And so he's going this Friday to have a PET scan, make sure there's no cancer in his body. And I want you to keep him in prayer concerning this. He goes to the doctor just about every day. Helmer, my mother-in-law, here the last few weeks. I want to keep them in prayer, if you will, as well. All right, let's do go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love You. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for saving me by Your grace, putting me in the family of God. Thank You for counting me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Lord, I never would have dreamed that I'd have been a preacher. Never would have dreamed that You'd use me like that You have. And I'm grateful and thankful unto Thee for it. I know it is but the grace of God. It all is redounding to Your glory. And so, Father, I pray, help me to live that way. Help me to function that way and to bring You utmost glory and honor, as You deserve. Lord, You know those unspoken requests that we got on our heart, things we're praying about and needful for and of. Lord, I pray You'd intervene and bless and help in those things. I do pray that You'd strengthen and help Mrs. Hall as she recovers from the surgery that she had last week. Father, I pray that You'd help her just to get stronger every day, and this road to recovery might be well and might be well worth it. Father, I pray be with her. Help Brother Hall as well as he ministers to her, and then, of course, to the other part of the family. Lord, be with them and help them as they try to take care of her as well. Lord, I do thank You for Your opening door for us and give us opportunity to preach and using us in different places. And Father, I do pray for that meeting going on down there at Brother Logston's this week, going through Wednesday night. Would You bless and use him? Father, would You use Brother Ronnie Simpson as he preaches there tonight? And then the revival meeting going on over at the Dawson Springs Baptist Temple, and Brother Houghton being the pastor there. Lord, bless and use Brother Mattingly as he preaches tonight and help in those services. Father, I pray that You would send revival to our nation. Lord, in Madisonville needs revival. I don't care which church it comes through. I'm honestly not selfish over that, although I'd love to be able to get in on it myself. And so, Father, I pray revival. I do pray revive me, revive us again, dear God, that Thy people might rejoice in Thee. Please revive our nation and stir us, dear God. I pray for our president and his advisors and our leaders in Congress and in the Senate. Father, I pray for our police officers and our soldiers and infantrymen. Lord, I pray be with them, keep them safe, and dear God, help them. Lord, I pray especially for sinners. Sinners need to be saved, and I'm thinking of some right now that I could call names, and I won't. But Lord, I pray that You would touch these sinners with Holy Ghost conviction, bring them out of their rebellion, and bring them to a place of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might be saved by the good grace of God. Now, Lord, bless and use this broadcast. Help us to learn to walk by faith. Help us to live by faith, not by sight. And, Father, that we might please You. Without faith, it's impossible to please You. So help us have the faith that we need, that we might please You and bring You glory and honor. Now, Lord, we ask all these things in the lovely and precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. Well, I do appreciate you praying with us, and we're going to get ready now to go back to the scripture here in Hebrews chapter 11, looking again at the life of Abraham. This will be our second day, and it's going to take a couple of weeks dealing with this here out of Hebrews chapter number 11, verses 8, 9, and 10 primarily, and we'll be going to that in a moment. But I've got a longer message today, so I've got a short song, and I've chosen to play my mother-in-law singing the song entitled Bubbling. We used to get a lot of requests for that. It sort of died down a little while now, but I appreciate my mother-in-law, and I'm glad that the Holy Ghost can help you bubble up from inside. I trust this song will be a blessing to you. Our Bible reading for this week is found in Hebrews chapter number 11, verses 1 through 10, and paying special attention to verses 8, 9, and 10. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." This week we're focusing primarily on verse number 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And as we said, we're looking specifically at verses 8 through 10 and dealing with Abraham on this week's broadcast. We've looked previously at Abel, Noah, and Enoch. Of course, I got those out of order. Abel, Enoch, and Noah in that order. And then we spent 1 week dealing with the definition of faith, what faith is, and the consequences of faith. Well, as we looked at these in Abel, we talked about faith and its communication. He being dead yet speaketh. In Enoch, we looked at his conveyance, faith and its conveyance, and the fact that he was translated, that he should not see death. And then Noah, of course, we know Noah as the ark builder, and so we call that Noah faith and its construction job. Faith puts you to work. Amen. Well, now this week we're looking at Abraham and the calling of Abraham to this journey of a far country. As we read the scripture there, and you read it with us there in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 10, as we looked at that verse number 8, the very first phrase of that, by faith Abraham, when he was called. And so we're calling this the calling of faith. And on yesterday's broadcast, I mentioned to you that more is said about Abraham and Moses in this 11th chapter of Hebrews than any other hero in the Heroes Hall of Fame, Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11. There's more said about Abraham and Moses than is said about anybody else, these elders that obtained a good report. Of course, there's more said about them in the book of Genesis and Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And so, as we look at these and deal with this, I think it's proper that these two men would have such prominence in this chapter, because this chapter is dealing with heroes of faith. This chapter dealing specifically with Jewish believers, Hebrew Christians. And so as we look at that, Abraham being the father of the Jews, also known as the father of the faith, and then Moses known as the great emancipator of the Jews, the deliverer of Israel in the Old Testament. And so these men would have a prominent part. Both of these men did what they did by faith. Amen. They lived by faith. Well, on yesterday's broadcast, we looked at the precepts for faith in the fact that God called Abraham. God called him to this life of faith. Matter of fact, in Genesis chapter number 12 and verse number 1, the Bible specifically mentions about that call that God gave to Abraham. Look at it, if you will, real quickly. Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." Amen. So God told Moses to go. Moses didn't just decide to go. He didn't just make a choice on his own. Although there was a choice, there was a choice to believe what God had said, which is what faith is. Amen. So he had a precept. In fact, I'm looking at, there's a precept. Now let me look, number two, at the premise. Faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go, look at that. I want you to look at that. 11, verse number 8. Hebrews 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out unto a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, look at this, and he went out. Amen. So he was called to go, and he went. Amen. It was this precept that was given to Abraham about his calling, and then there was this premise, the basis, the foundation of Abraham's faith, and hence his conduct. In other words, because of what Abraham believed, it affected his behavior. Now, we have emphasized repeatedly as we've studied through these verses in Hebrews 11 so far that faith is not some wistful or wishful bit of worked up optimism by which a person might make themselves believe that things are going to work out okay even when the circumstances are unfavorable. In other words, I'm convinced that there are some people that think that faith is just being positive, having a positive outlook. I don't mean assured, although that carries a connotation, but the fact of being, not being negative, not being doubtful, not being, not seeing the negative of it, but being positive. Well, that has a connotation, as I said, but that's not all it is. It's not just being positive, it has been positive of what is the precept. In other words, it's believing. Not just believing in yourself, not just, and some people call that faith. I've heard men in the pulpit say that faith is you believing in yourself. Can I say to you, friend, that is a terrible definition of faith. Faith is you or I believing what God has said. That's faith. Now, I can believe what God says for me. I can believe what God says for you. I can believe what He says for the world. I can believe it all, in other words. Amen. It's more than just a wistful imagination, worked up optimism, believing that things are going to work out okay. No, that's not the faith that the Bible's talking about. The faith that the Bible speaks about always rests upon divine precept or principle. You may not exactly have a verse that says this is talking to you, but it has a premise. It has a principle. Amen. As the foundation for the belief and the conduct. So we're talking about precept and we're talking about premise. There's that foundation. If you do not have a divine precept or principle upon which you base your trust, upon which you base your conduct, your activities, then you are not acting on faith as the Bible defines it. Amen. You're acting, you may be walking in the flesh, and it might be that it's positive, I mean assured flesh. It may be that you're convinced everything's going to be all right in the flesh. But that doesn't mean you're living by faith. And we're to walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. Now, I believe, and I'm convinced that a lot of the so-called faith in our world today cannot be true faith. It cannot be ratified as faith because it's nothing but flesh. It has nothing to do with true biblical faith. Amen. You may say that you're going to do something by faith, but you cannot produce a divine precept nor a principle from the Bible as the premise, as the foundation for the action that you're going to do, and therefore it's not an action of faith. Amen. You're not in the faith business. Well, let me go on and say, when we look at these texts, it indicates that Abraham's calling was revealed to him by the Word of God. Amen. The Lord said unto Abraham, or Abram, as he is called in those days. The Word of the Lord spoke to Abraham. That's how he speaks to us as well. Today is through his Word. Amen. And that's how we can know God's callings in our life. Amen. If you want to know your calling, get in the Bible. If you want to know what God wants for you to do, get in the Word of God. Amen. Failure to know the Scriptures will keep you in the dark concerning your calling. Amen. The fact today in many of our churches, the Scripture is not emphasized. As a matter of fact, it is de-emphasized. In other words, men today are getting to where they want to know what the public wants rather than what the Bible says. The precept says. They want to know what works rather than what the Word says about it. They want to know, you know, what is successful rather than what is scriptural. And so they are de-emphasizing the Bible in many churches today. I will say to you, that's tragic because it helps keep people in the dark concerning what God wants them to do. So many people wander about their lives totally oblivious to any calling of God upon their life because they don't know the Scriptures well. Amen. Some, because of their ignorance of the Scriptures, claim a calling that cannot be claimed by faith because it totally violates the Scripture. There's no scriptural support for it whatsoever. Amen. No true calling of God violates the Scriptures. As an example, a woman that says she's called into the ministry, I believe is a fraud. In regards to her work, she's not living by faith because the Bible specifically speaks against that. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Amen. A man that's been married twice or three times, we'll just say multiple times, that says that God has called him to preach is a fraud because the Bible clearly says that God calls the man that has one living wife. Amen. The husband of one wife, the Bible says. Amen. Well, I'm not trying to be ugly, I'm not trying to be mean, but I am telling you, there's a lot of people today in religion that claim a calling, and not just call to preach, but other callings, that God has called them to do some specific work, and it's not based on the precept. It doesn't have a premise of faith, therefore it doesn't have a leg to stand on. It may very well be worked up flesh. It may very well be assured flesh. It may very well be confident flesh, but it's still flesh. It's not faith. It's walking by sight rather than walking by faith. Well, our divine calling, any whatever it is, will be supported by the Scripture. Amen. Now, it may not be as specifically stated as Abraham's calling was, but I believe there'll be scriptural principles that will be embodied for there to be a calling of God in your life. That's the basis of faith, is the Word of God. Amen. Now, if you cannot justify your calling on the basis of this divine principle, divine precept, you better think in terms of another calling. Amen. You are out of the will of God when you're trying to do something that God has specifically not called you for. Amen. Now, do not waste your time taking man-made tests about your aptitude, what you're able to do, or things that might determine your calling. There may be psychological tests used today, and there are many psychological tests used today to determine where a person supposedly fits in his calling and place of service. But you can disregard all those tests. What you really need is a scripture test. Amen. That test is, can you defend your calling by precept or principle on the Word of God? Was your calling inspired by the Word of God? God calls by His Word. Amen. Let me move on to the third thing here. We see not only the premise, and we see the precept. But I want you to notice the purity. Look at what he said. He told him to go out there in Hebrews 11, verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out, he told him to get out of the country from his kindred there in Genesis 12 and verse number 1. He says there in Genesis 12, 1, now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And so he is telling him to get out. Abraham's acts by faith. And when he does, he leaves his native country. He leaves his kinfolk. That, by the way, will be purifying him. Because the place and the people that he was to leave were not holy and were not God-honoring. Amen. His native country was a place of idolatry. Amen. Isaiah 51, verses 1 and 2 says, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and out of the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. Joshua 24, verse 2 says, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in the old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Joshua 24, 2. So, in other words, Abraham's father and Abraham's people, the place was an idolatrous place, and they were an idolatrous people. Amen. Abraham needed to separate from his kinfolk. That's seen here in the fact they slowed him down in his obedience. If you study Genesis 11, verses 29 through 31, you'll notice that God had called Abraham before that, before Genesis 12, and they'd started out, they'd gone to Haran, but instead of moving on to Canaan land, they got hung up. And then Lot, Abraham's nephew, whom Abraham took alongside with him, instead of separating from him, he only hindered Abraham. He was a worldly, materialistic, and later lived comfortably in wicked Sodom. He was not a blessing to Abraham. He was a drag on Abraham and a corruption, no doubt, even to the family of Abraham. Can I say this, and I'm hurrying. Faith does not defile. Friend, faith purifies. The kinfolk of Abraham were of little help to Abraham's faith. They were carnal, they were corrupt, and their influence had bad effects on Abraham. Therefore, he needed to separate from them. Well, I've got more to say, but I'm going to have to stop right there. I've run out of time. Appreciate you tuning in today, and may God bless you is our prayer.